Our study tonight is out of Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 through 19, Lamentation for the Sin and the Fall of the King of Tyre. The overwhelming pride of the human ruler of Tyre, what Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 2 calls the man at the top, was the same sin that Satan had committed, leading to Satan's fall. We know that also from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. Pride was the sin that led to the condemnation of the devil. Well, incidentally, Ezekiel predicted the fall of Satan himself, who was behind the human ruler of Tyre, doing so in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 to 19. And we study this passage for our insight and our edification. For the sake of those who are listening online, I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of the privilege of studying your word. Thank you for the fact that we're able to open up for prayer meeting now in the pandemic. We ask, Father, for wisdom as we get into this passage and as we cover this very important subject, that we would enjoy the protection of the Lord and also wisdom to understand the truth of the word of God and to apply it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 to 19. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold. Workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covered, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou wast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou exist or be any more. Okay, the king of Tyre, behind the human ruler, that's the word Nagid of Tyre, was Satan himself. For though the human ruler of Tyre claimed to be a god while he was just a man, back in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 1 and 2, Ezekiel 28, 11 and 19, the passage that I just read, described the king of Tyre in terms that could not apply to a mere man, but rather to Satan himself. So this passage is dealing with the fall of Satan. Now the king of Tyre, and here are the reasons. The king of Tyre had been in the Garden of Eden back in Genesis chapters 2 and 3. And no man but Adam had experienced that. Remember, Adam and Eve had been in the Garden of Eden, and then when they sinned, God cast them out. The only two people who ever were in Eden were Adam and Eve until they sinned, and then God cast them out. Well, Adam had long since died. In fact, Adam died in Genesis chapter 5, verse 5. He was over 900 years old at the time. But he's dead. So this king of Tyre had been in the Garden of Eden. So we're dealing with a being here who's not a human being. The king of Tyre had been a guardian cherub, an angel, not a mere man. A cherub is never a man. A cherub is an angel. And the cherubs are the... There had been apparently five cherubs around the throne. There currently are four, and they're represented, they're mentioned in the book of Revelation. Satan was the fifth one. He would be hovering over. He was kind of like a hovering canopy. And these cherubs were designed to protect the holiness of God. God is holy. That means he's separate from sin. So Satan had been really on the inner group of the angels that were surrounding the throne of God. Then the king of Tyre once had access to God's holy mountain, and no man on earth has had that. To have access to God's holy mountain, you'd be able to see his face, and no man has seen God's face and lived, no human being on this earth. Then the king of Tyre had been sinless from the time that he was created, and no man but Adam had experienced this until he fell. See, the only person, the only human being who was created sinless, human being, somebody put it this way, would have been Adam and Eve. They were sinless until they sinned. But after that, man, all men are born in sin, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 12, and also the passage in Psalm 51:5, where David said, "In sin did my mother conceive me." He's talking about his sin, not his mother's sin. So since this being had been sinless from the time he was created, what no man had experienced until his fall, and Adam had long since deceased, then we're dealing with none other here than Satan. So Ezekiel 28:11-19 was a lament for the fall and the judgment of Satan. It's difficult for us to think about God wanting a lament to be formed for Satan, because all we know of Satan is that he's wicked and he's evil and he needs to go to hell because of all the things that he's done. But God had created Satan to be one of his inner group of angels, a very magnificent being as far as beauty is concerned, intellect, brilliance, power. And there was a tragic loss right around the throne of God when he fell, because one-fifth of the five angels who were surrounding the throne was gone. Okay, it'd be like losing 20% of a congregation kind of thing. So there's a grief that's built into this. But before his fall, Satan possessed special privileges as the greatest of God's created angels. Being without sin, Satan was created by God as the model of perfection. And verses 11 and 12, "Son of man, take up a lamentation of Tyre, say, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum." In other words, he epitomized the wisdom and the perfection and beauty. Satan is very brilliant. He doesn't have that wisdom now. He lost it when he sinned, but he had at one time had tremendous wisdom and beauty. He was full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, being in the Garden of Eden. He had access, apparently, to the Garden of Eden. Of course, he had access there when at the fall, too, when he went and he deceived Eve, and then she gave the fruit to her husband, and they both ate and sinned. Satan had every precious stone as his covering or robe, including sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, and carbuncle. You have stones here going everywhere from red, bright red, to green, to yellows, to clear, to browns, and so forth. And these were embedded, apparently, in the robe that he was wearing. If you were to see Satan in himself, he's not a little red man running around with a pitchfork. That's what everybody thinks he is. He is, and he's a very magnificent being, very intelligent. Stunning. Satan had sockets and grooves used as the settings for these precious stones. They were crafted in gold in the day that Satan had been created and prepared by the Lord, according to verse 13. Satan was the anointed guardian cherub, the inner circle of angels who had the closest access to God and guarded his holiness. In Ezekiel chapter 10, 1-14, we read about the angels, the four angels that were composed of and made up the chariot of God as he was riding. And these are magnificent beings, tremendous power and insight and wisdom. And those four were, and they can change their form. They can, and at this time, they'd changed themselves into the form of wheels that had eyes in them and they were spinning. And they can look like that in their natural form. Something like an eagle, one looks like a bull, the other one looks the face of a man, the other looks, I forget what the other one is, a lion. But that's in their normal form. But they can take they can select about any form that they want. Well, God had placed Satan on his holy mountain so that he walked in the midst of the stones of the fire. And all we can do is guess what the stones of fire are. We have no idea. But whatever, it conveys that he had the closest access to God. These stones of fire apparently refer to something that was very close to the throne of God itself. So he could actually walk there, right in the very presence of God. Now, what's amazing is you and I as believers sometime, in the future, we will be in the presence of God. Where Satan was cast out, we will be there. And we'll be sitting on thrones around the throne of God. It's just an amazing thing. We're going to have access to that. But Satan lost this. Well, Satan was blameless in his ways from the day of his creation. However, one day God found unrighteousness in Satan. Now, in the passage here, the unrighteousness that was found in him is pride. And that's true. Pride was the cause of everything. But in Isaiah chapter 12, I think it was chapter 14, forgive me. With that pride, he said, I will be like the Most High. I will exalt myself. He was going to try to replace God. And Satan, ever since, has been trying to supplant God in every way. This is why Satan, what he tries to do, is to get people to think that he's over here making a mess. And he does make a mess a lot of times. But what he likes to do is to try to pretend to be exactly like God. Satan's favorite place is in a pulpit. You know that? In fact, the Bible says Satan has ministers. They're ministers of Satan. And Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. He's very deceptive, according to Paul the Apostle in the book of Corinthians. But anyway, Satan's fall from glory, what actually occurs in stages, is described in verses 16 through 19. Satan's wickedness was very influential due to his broad contact with large portions of God's creation, contact that also involved evil violence in his effort to oppose God. Now, there's actually almost a mistranslation in verse 16a in the King James Version, because it uses a verb, rakal, which is used, and it can be used to trade for merchandise. But it's a very broad word, and it doesn't have to mean that. And in the context here, it doesn't look like Satan is trading for merchandise. But Satan had tremendous contact throughout the creation that God had. This is why we believe when Satan fell, in Revelation 12 says he took his tail, he's presented as a dragon in Revelation 12, and a third of the stars of heaven, which refers to the angels, fell with him. He had so much influence that he caused a third of the entire angelic force to fall with him. And those angels that fell with him are demons, and they do Satan's bidding. Now, apparently, when the angels made their decision to follow Satan, that situation was locked in, so that's why they're going to end up in hell, or in the lake of fire eventually, too, with Satan. The other angels, the two-thirds, were the ones who chose to stay with God, and their decision since has been locked in as well. But anyway, the Hebrew word for merchandise or trade in verse 16 is rakal, to go about from one to another, and it's used in the nearby context of the city of Tyre's commercial trade. But this word can have a broad meaning, and here it refers to Satan's broad contacts. So Satan's broad contacts in God's creation caused his fall into sin to become widely harmful. The world today, in fact, Satan is called by the Apostle Paul, he's called the god of this world. Satan has influence over the whole world. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 John 5:19 that the whole world lies in the arms of Satan. The whole world system that we see around us today is being rocked in the arms of Satan. He's very powerful. He has tremendous influence. And unfortunately, many Christians are getting, and many churches are getting mixed up in it because they're converging with the world system. And Satan is up to his gills in that system. So Satan's broad contacts in God's creation caused his fall into sin to become widely harmful. So God drove Satan in disgrace from his holy mount, removing him from God's inner circle of angels. Now, that happens in verse 16b, but Satan still has access to heaven to accuse believers of sin. We know that in Revelation 12:10. He's still doing that right now. He's accused, if every time you sin or I sin, he accuses us before God the Father. But Satan will be removed from that access in the middle of the Great Tribulation in Revelation 12:9. When that occurs, Satan will go forth with tremendous anger because he knows his time is short. He only has 3.5 years left and he's going to be put in the bottomless pit. He knows that. So he goes forth with great wrath. And to unseat God, what he wants to do is destroy all living Jews on the earth. Because if he destroys all living Jews, then God cannot keep his Abrahamic covenant. If God can't keep his Abrahamic covenant, God's not God. So Satan is going to try to annihilate the Jew. He'll be pretty successful because 2/3 of the Jews will be killed. 1/3 of them will survive, but they will become believers in Jesus Christ. And God is going to start building the kingdom through them at the second coming of Christ. Now at the start of Christ's messianic kingdom, Satan will be bound in the bottomless pit, that's Revelation 12, 1-3, only to be released after the 1,000 years are up to deceive the nations after that, Revelation 27-9, that's Gog and Magog, before he is finally cast forever into the lake of fire in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Now Satan's pride over his beauty, Ezekiel 28:17a, and corruption of his wisdom over his splendor, in verse 17b, led God to cast him to the earth. And that, of course, is going to be in the middle of the Great Tribulation. See how this all happens in stages. Before others, ending in destruction by fire. And that destruction will be in the lake of fire in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. So right now, there's only been the first stage. He's been removed from being close to the holiness of God. He still has access to heaven, but that's going to end in the middle of the tribulation. Then at the end of the Great Tribulation, he's cast into the bottomless pit. He's released temporarily. He deceives the nations. And then he's cast forever into the lake of fire. So, though Satan was created as the greatest angelic being in God's creation, given the highest and closest position to the Lord, his sin of pride caused his great fall that will ultimately lead to his eternal punishment. There's a huge lesson here. May we avoid the sin of pride. Pride is so destructive, and it is so opposed by our righteous God. I don't believe any Christian ever, in fact, I know, no Christian ever has the right to feel proud. We are saved by God's unmerited favor. We deserve hell, every one of us. We get to go to heaven because God's kind to us. And God sent his son to die for us. So we should always be thanking God. We should be humble before God. We should be meek before the Lord. And never, never be proud. What do we have but that God hasn't given it to us? The spiritual gifts we have, the life we have, the bodies we have were given to us. We didn't create them. God put them together in the womb of our mothers. So we deserve to, we are required, let me put it that way, we are required of God to worship him and to praise him and to remain humble. So God help us to remain humble.